Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over some news and then kind of talk about this mainstream media narrative around the Cerveza sickness breaking down, but them just kind of their last gasp of air. It's like when I was writing the title to this video, it reminded me of the athlete that's just way, 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 way past their prime. But yet they try to come back, and everyone knows they really, really shouldn't. Like the UFC fighter or something like that that's 10 years past their prime and comes back, and you almost feel sorry for them because they're in the ring, and just everyone knows that they have no business being there, and it's actually dangerous, and they're kind of embarrassing themselves. It's exactly what the mainstream media is doing right now, in my opinion, with the Cerveza sickness narrative. But before we get into that and just dunk on the mainstream media, which is very easy to do these days, let's get into some news here. So with Joe Biden and his mandates, U.S. judge blocks them again, for this time for federal workers. How pissed off would you be if you were a federal worker and you actually had to quit because of these mandates, and now all of a sudden they're blocking them, and they most likely won't go through? Or what if you're that business that came out with these mandates because you thought it was going to be law, when in reality it never was, but you thought it was going to be law, so you came out and made it mandatory. You lost key employees, and now all of a sudden you're like, how would you not be extremely, irritated? I'm using that to keep it kid friendly here, but my goodness, it just shows you that these politicians are just, they're like a bull in a china shop, and that they're just there. They have these blinders on. The only thing they're pursuing is just more power, more control, more power, more control. And their horns are just going, and they don't think through. I don't think they even have the ability. I don't think they're that smart to really think through all the unintended consequences. And even if they can think through the unintended consequences, they don't care. They could care less, because they're sociopaths. And they're psychotic. The only thing they care about is just them being reelected. So again, it's just this bull in the china shop where they're not even cognizant. They're just waving their horns everywhere. There's like rule, law, mandate, restriction, law, restriction, control, central bank digital currency, increased taxes, increased regulations, mandate here, lock everyone in a cage for a year. Force small businesses to shut down. And then what happens when you come out the other side is you see, you walk into the door of the shop and everything is completely destroyed. And then it's like the bull is sitting there saying, oh, just vote for me and I'll fix it. That's pretty much what happens when these politicians muck everything up, which is what they're doing and going to be doing more in the future, in my opinion, as they push towards this authoritarianism and central planning. But this is great news. I don't want to get too sidetracked here. I think this is fantastic news that a U.S. judge is blocking these mandates for federal workers. In the past, we've gone over stories where they blocked them for businesses, but now for federal employees, which I assume would include federal contractors. Josh, we'll have to look into that one, because you probably know where I'm going with that, with airlines, with Google, and a lot of the airlines have implemented those mandates, or were, until their employees said, no, we're not playing that game. And then they've just been kind of trying to kick the can down the road. Oh, we did stories on that, guys, probably about a month ago. But and just to put things into context, let's look at Starbucks, probably one of the most woke companies out there. And even Starbucks, once these mandates got knocked down, they discontinued that policy with their workers. Now, they want to make sure that they're still woke enough, so they're now forcing their employees to not just wear masks, but N95 masks. So, not all good news there on the Starbucks front. But my point is that a lot of these companies, even the woke ones, like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and Starbucks, they will kind of, you'll notice that they more so abide by the institutional rules, or what the institutional narrative is, even maybe more so than the political narrative. And this is something that I got wrong, because I thought that they lean more toward the side of just whatever the political narrative was for the administration. But it seems they're not. They're kind of trying to walk that tightrope, so to speak, where even if it's something that the administration is for, if the Supreme Court shuts it down, or if maybe the CDC says something different, they're siding on the side of the law. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But regardless, this headline in and of itself is, in my opinion, fantastic news. So the key points here: federal judge in Texas blocked the Biden administration from enforcing an executive order requiring federal employees to have the medicine. Biden's executive order amounts to a presidential mandate that all federal employees consent to medicine or lose their job. The ruling marks the latest setback for Biden, whose efforts to boost, and here's where I would disagree. I don't know that this was his effort just to boost the rate. I think there was far more to it as far as the motivation to try to deploy these policies than just health and safety. But regardless, through sweeping workforce safety rules, they have been repeatedly stymied in courts. Again, that is great news. So that's pretty much the key takeaway as to what is going on here with the Biden administration. They're being blocked again. But let's go over some of the other news pertaining to how the media is just trying to kind of have one last hurrah with the narrative, maybe for ratings, maybe because they're trying to save face. A combination of all of the above might be applicable. But here we go. 2 years since the Cervais sickness was first confirmed in the U.S., and it was way worse than anyone imagined. Really? Really? Because I was talking about it in January of 2020, and I was talking about in February and in a couple different videos, lockdowns, the United States going into a police state, this Cervais sickness being a pandemic spreading everywhere throughout the globe. I was talking about it really putting strain on hospital capacity. I was talking about all these things. And so I want to make it very clear here, just a shot across the bow with the mainstream media, that when they say no one imagined this, they're talking about that no one in the mainstream media imagined this. There were tons of people that were not only imagining this, but talking about it quite extensively in the alternative media space. And so we always want to give credit where credit is due to people like my good friend, Chris Martinson, which is one of the very first people that was talking about how, hey, guys, this could be a lot worse than the central planners or the politicians are leading us to believe. Even my good friend, Chris Irons, with the QTR podcast, I remember when he came out, I believe it was in February or so, and said that that Japan might even cancel the Olympics, and that they could cancel the seasons for like the NFL and Major League Baseball, et cetera, in the United States. I remember he was really heavily criticized on social media and Twitter. And sure enough, he was right on the money. So my point here for the mainstream media is, let's give credit to the people who saw this coming from a mile away. And for the people who have been constantly right over the last 2 years, I mean, they have been spot on, but yet they've been criticized. They've been demonized. Some of them have been deplatformed, demonetized by these social media overlords over the last 2 months. But yet 6 months later, the mainstream media comes out and basically parrots exactly what they're being demonized for saying 6 months earlier. Well, let's make sure that we acknowledge these people and try to find the people that were right from the beginning and were consistently right throughout the last 2 years. And maybe, just maybe, we should listen to them a little bit more in the future instead of trying to get them censored for quote-unquote disinformation. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. It's incredible, isn't it? Because in the financial media, if someone makes a fantastic call, such as Peter Schiff prior to the GFC, remember when he was going on CNBC and everyone was making fun of him? I don't mean just making fun of him. They're literally laughing at him and telling him he is stupid and he was an idiot and yada, yada, yada. But yet he stood firm and he ended up being correct about the GFC. And then after everything collapsed, well, the mainstream media, they wanted to interview him even more. Well, this is a guy that got it right. Let's talk to him. And you see, they took this to an extreme in the sense that they even made a movie about this, The Big Short, right? And they used characters that actually got it right prior to the GFC. They're giving them credit. They're saying, hey, and now, whenever I do a video, as an example, on Michael Burry, it gets a tremendous amount of views. Why? Because everyone wants to hear what he says. Why? Because he got it so correct prior to the GFC. So why don't we do the same things with the people that have got it correct since 2020 with the Cerveza sickness? Why is the media is doing the complete opposite with them? Instead of seeking them out, saying, hey, man, this guy got it right, or at least right 80% of the time over the past 2 years, let's hear what he has to say. Instead, they're saying, oh, this guy got it right, we got it wrong, this guy makes us look like a jackass, let's just try to sweep him under the rug, don't pay any attention to him, and if he does get too popular, let's just claim that he is trying to spread misinformation and get him censored from the entire internet. That's how things, how significantly, and that's how much things have changed since the GFC. And I think that's something that we need to be aware of, because that tells you a lot about what is happening, in my opinion, behind the scenes. So this is their kind of their last stand, if you will. And again, you always know that this is pure propaganda whenever they start the story with what? Some sort of emotional example. And you guys, we've seen this now just countless times after doing stories from the mainstream media. But whenever they start off, instead of giving you data, instead of they giving you facts and charts or something that actually holds weight, and something that you can is intellectually tangible, they just try to play right to the heartstrings, right to your emotions. 35-year-old man returns, and then they talk about this story. They take you through the whole thing of what happened with the CDC, and then they have the audacity to come out and try to throw Trump under the bus, which, listen, I'm not saying he did everything right back then, but I would, he said he had it totally under control. Okay, well, what has Biden said so many times since he's gotten elected, and he had the benefit of seeing what was happening with the Cervais sickness? Trump didn't. So if Trump does something that I don't like, I'm happy to point it out, which I've done several times, but I don't think that you can throw Trump under the bus because he hasn't done anything unique compared to Biden from just getting this totally wrong as far as the Cerveza sickness. But then they go on to say how great Voldemort is. And you guys can see who I'm talking about right here. I'll highlight it. And they're saying, oh, well, he got it right. He confirmed, well, Trump was just being some sort of Neanderthal blowhard. The real adults in the room, like Voldemort, was getting it correct. How can they twist history to this degree? He was just getting everything wrong. Remember what he said up or not just getting everything wrong, but he was just flip-flopping, just constantly contradicting himself on pretty much everything he said. And it's just staggering how they have just this kind of revisionist view of what actually happened. But this just shows me that they're desperate. This is this whole article, I mean, you can read it if you'd like. It's just, it just reeks of desperation, just like that athlete that is 10 or 15 years past their prime and still trying to battle it out with the 22-year-olds in the UFC octagon. You just, you almost feel sorry for them. How long they can maintain this narrative, I don't think they can much longer. And as an example, we see in Czechoslovakia, or I call it the Czech Republic, I guess it's called now. It just kind of shows you how old I am. I guess they don't call it Czechoslovakia anymore. they abolished their plan for a mandate. That's fantastic. Now, on the flip side, Austria just passed their mandate. That goes into effect, I believe, in February. You know what? I mean, I hate to put the tinfoil hat on, but if I was betting on what's actually happening, I would say that the countries that move forward with their mandates in Europe, in light of all the data that we have on the most recent scariant and all of the data we have on the, we'll call it the medicines. And what I'm referring to is if we go to my Twitter feed here, I've posted a few things. Oh, by the way, you can see this new mask that I got. Josh, did you see that? This mask is as useless as the idiots that require them. Yeah, that's my mask I bought for the DC protest this weekend. So that's what I'll be wearing on the plane. Okay, anyway. But here we go. Things like this. And this is stuff that we've known for a long time. Prior surveys of sickness infection more protective than any vaccine. And this is actually according to a study from, drum roll please, the CDC. So now all this stuff is coming out, stuff we were talking about 6 months ago or so. But even this is coming out, let's see, right here. This is from Bloomberg. This is not from some alt-right media source. And you guys can read what it says about the boosters. And now there may be an argument for hospital capacity, but if we're on the decline for this, then it really doesn't make sense when what we know about the scariant is that it's extremely mild. So if the cases are declining rapidly, just dropping off a cliff like they will be, I think in the next few weeks, then still those mandates, there's really no logical argument for them. So that said, going back to my original point, if we see countries like Austria or maybe Germany moving forward in light of the data, I believe that gives you kind of a tell that the World Economic Forum has more influence over those countries. So the countries that, like the United States, that might be going the opposite direction or moving closer to sanity, maybe the Czech Republic would fall into that category. Maybe, I don't know, some of the other countries in the West that are following this path, I think it makes it pretty clear that they're less under the influence than other countries like Austria when it comes to being under the influence of the global elite at Davos, World Economic Forum, IMF, etc. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But there's a lot of back and forth. There's good news, there's bad news, but it's a lot better than what we had 2 or 3 months ago when it was pretty much all bad news if you're someone who values freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Want to remind everyone that I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. this weekend. We're flying out tomorrow morning. The Rebel Capitalist team and myself hopping on the plane, going over to D.C. for the peaceful protest march on January 23rd, Sunday. I believe it's 11 a.m. D.C. time. It's going to be from the Washington Monument to the Lincoln Memorial. We're going to go there and really express our opinion on the mandates. And we're going to try to push back against these authoritarians. And I think this is going to be the death blow to this push for mandates here in the United States. Hopefully, if you're in the area, you can come out and join us, do your part. And you know, this is what we need to do. It's all about civil disobedience, and it's about making our voices heard. And I do think that we are the silent majority, but if more and more of us that are part of that silent majority can be more vocal about our views, especially in light of the facts that we've been seeing over the last 2-3 weeks, I think this pandemic, if you will, or at least viewing what's going on around us as a pandemic that we should all be worried about and wear 15 masks and have all these passports and whatnot, that's going to be in the rear view mirror moving into the summer. And hopefully all of us can make that happen together. So if you're in the area, definitely come out, say hi. I'll be wearing my End the Fed hat, and we'll be doing some interviews out there, probably live streaming. So we'll probably live stream to this channel. So if you guys aren't able to make it, you'll be able to check it out that way.